The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The 14 people about their payment of seats, and he, as their own mother organization here, will sit down and look at it that nobody has been paid about his SNIT benefit, and SNIT is looking at it, then I think there's something wrong about SNIT.
Right now, the hotel is no more 4-star. From 5-star, we are now at 3-star. This hotel is a SNIT government property, SNIT subsidiary.
More fire.
SNIT contributors' money are in it. Our money is in it. But SNIT take no interest in the welfare of this company. They don't look at the welfare of the company, where the company is heading towards.
Why are you saying that maybe they are in touch with the board? How do you know?
If they are in touch with the board, works on the ground will tell you that they are in touch with the board.
Those were some disgruntled workers of La Palma Royal Beach Hotel calling for the sack of their chief executive there. Meanwhile, management has declined to speak on the issue. We shall be keeping an eye for details in, you know, our subsequent bulletins. But that's how we end this edition of the Joy Business Report. Our top story, the Monetary Policy Committee of the Bank of Ghana has kept the policy rate at 14.5%. And mining firm Golden Star Resources announced the sale of Bogosu and Prestia mines to Future Global Resources for $95 million. I'm Charles Aite, handing you over to Gary L. Smith for the sports track. Hi, Gary.
Hello, Charles. How are you?
I'm great. How are you today?
Doing well, thank you. Today on the Joy Sports Track, the president's latest directives have affected football in a way in terms of camping of some of the junior national teams. We'll speak to officials of the GFA and get some clarity on what exactly it means in terms of the questing. Is football coming back anytime soon? From now till 2.
As we continue to fight COVID-19 together, Ecobank offers you several ways to stay home, stay safe, and take control of your finances. Use Ecobank Mobile whenever, wherever, with or without an Ecobank account to send money through SMS and email. Also buy airtime, pay bills, and much more from the comfort of your home. For high-value transactions, use our internet banking services. Ecobank QR code enables you to make cashless digital payments when paying for goods and services. Download the Ecobank Mobile today from the Google Play Store, App Store, or from our Facebook page. Additionally, dial the short code *770# from any phone and start transacting. Ecobank cares. Remember to observe social distancing, wash your hands frequently, and don't touch your face. For further assistance, kindly call Ecobank Contact Center on 3225 anytime, any day, toll free. Stay home, stay safe. Ecobank, the Pan-African Bank.
May I please have your attention for the following announcement. Ebusiampeni Nana Akwa Senchem. Ebusiampeni Nana Serebo Antiaze. Ebusiampeni Kwesi Obonko Ebuesi. Ebusiampeni Kojo Kwenmu Asoko Isaman. Obahima Nana Sasema the First Antiaze. Obahima Nana Sasema the Second Utuam. Openyi Faminyinka Oba Peni Araba Guaba and the families of Ebuesi and Asoko Eseman regret to announce the death of their beloved, Madame Justina Apia, aka Tema Boga. She died aged 70. Funeral arrangements are as follows. Laying in state takes place on Friday, the 31st of July 2020 at Ebuesi. Burial service takes place on Saturday, the 1st of August 2020 at Ebuesi School Park. Interment takes place on the 1st of August 2020 at Ebuesi. Family gathering takes place at the Ebuesi Community Center. Thanksgiving service takes place on Sunday, the 2nd of August 2020 at the Church of Pentecost, Ebuesi, and the family will gather afterwards. Children: Patrick Kwame Edufo, Emmanuel Eko Esilfi, Francis Egliku, Mary Egliku, and Andrew Pa Kwamena Solomons. Friends and sympathizers are cordially invited.
Joy 99.7 FM.
This is Joy 99.7 FM. We are still in the celebratory mood, even if in a difficult year. 25 years of broadcasting, 25 years of media excellence, and this is 99.7. Today we are looking at one major issue. Time permitting, we do a quick preview, a quick review of the Premier League. But today, the analysis will be more on what the president said yesterday. If you've been listening to our bulletins, you may have heard that in what was yet another update on the measures taken against the coronavirus pandemic, the president said that ahead of the participation in their respective qualifiers for upcoming tournament, he's given clearance to the national under-17 and under-20 women's teams to resume camping. Now, the Black Maidens are the under-17 women's team will be participating in the under-17 2020 African Women's World Cup qualifying tournament, while the Black Princesses, that is the under-20, will be partaking in the 2020 African Under-20 Women's World Cup qualifying tournament. Is that a mouthful? Let me take it again. So the Black Maidens are the under-17s, and they will be taking part in the 2020 African Under-17 Women's World Cup qualifying tournament. Is that clear? Right. And then the Black Princesses, who are the under-20s, will be taking part in the 2020 African Under-20 Women's World Cup qualifying tournament. So, basically, this is what the president said and how he puts the message across last night.
Our female under-20 and under-17 national football teams have been given the clearance to go into their respective training camps to begin preparations towards their FIFA and CAF-sanctioned international matches, which begin in September. Whilst in training, the playing technical and management teams must observe strictly all the protocols issued by government, CAF, and FIFA against COVID-19. All other team and contact sports and competitive sporting events remain suspended till further notice.
Yeah, so that's the 411 on the matter. All other contact sports and competitive sports remain suspended, obviously, because we still want to observe social distancing and all that. So the background to that is that, you know, the 2018 FIFA Women's World Cup finalists were billed to contest with Nigeria originally in May, okay? And that was after the Ghanaians thrashed Liberia 10-0 in the first round of qualifiers. You might remember that. However, due to COVID and the pandemic that ensued, the match has now been rescheduled to the 30th of October, or the weekend of 30th October and 1st November for the first leg, and 20th to 22nd November this year for the second leg. And that's why the president is looking forward to their camping ahead of those games. Meanwhile, the Black Princesses, who, don't forget, had a bye in the preliminary round, will be starting their campaign against Guinea-Bissau. And the match will take place between September 4th and 6th and September 11th and 13th. So that's the background, and that's why the president is ensuring that this is happening. And that was update came in update number 14 of the president's measures taken to combat COVID-19 in Ghana. So essentially, we look at the nitty-gritty, how this can be achieved, whether the FA is ready for it, and so on and so forth. George Addo Jr. is also here with me in studio. We'll be looking at that. Plus, if you have thoughts on, you know, how the Premier League finished yesterday, we had a whole two-hour show on it. But there's been some reaction from the various stakeholders, the players, those who have been relegated. Let's know. We'll read it as we go along. George, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Gary. How are you doing?
Yeah, doing well, thank you.
Yeah, it's a great Monday morning, and it's good to be on the sports track, you know, with you. Of course, we will be very happy to hear from the official dom what their plans are.
In relation to what the president
said. Yeah, you know, the president is only giving a lead. So what we decide to do with the under-20s and under-17s, mm-hmm. talking about the female football, will give us an idea of what the Ghana Football Association wants to do, really, mm-hmm. when the Ghana Premier League starts.
Yeah.
Because COVID, I'm sorry to say, is here to stay. It doesn't look like it's kicking out, but we have to go ahead with our football.
Yeah, nice.
And all the football associations are indicating, or football governing bodies, continental football governing bodies are indicating that they will go ahead with their qualifiers and everything. And we have also indicated that we will go ahead with our Ghana Premier League. Looking at our situation and the challenges, I am very much waiting for how the Ghana Football Association seems or is planning to navigate through these difficult times. Are they going to say play behind closed doors? Are they going to say social distancing? Are they going to say, I just want to know. So this is a, I think it's a...
You mean the camping or general football?
I mean general football.
Okay.
So if you look at what's going to happen during the camping and how these ladies are going to be training, I think it's just a fantastic step one on how the Ghana Football Association is actually going to deal with this one. And again, it will be a template for the various Ghana Premier League clubs and Division 1 clubs on how they go about training their players and everything. Because remember, before the Premier League starts, and we are in August, we're talking September, we're talking October. So before it starts, the clubs would have to find a way in how they train their players and how they go about it. So I think this is an important exercise that will give us an idea of how we're going to drive football, you know, from here. So I just can't wait to hear from, you know, officials and how they want to go about this. And of course, it will be refreshing as well to hear from, you know, members of the management committee, the coaches, and how they think all of this will go and how prepared they are for it. So it's a good place to start.
We are trying to reach an official of the Ghana Football Association to get an idea of what they are thinking as well. But were you surprised at their president directive?
You know, the problem I've had with some of the directives is that, you know, it's no here, it's yes here. And you're trying to connect it and you're getting confused, you know. If I bring it out of sports, I'm saying, all right, come on, guys. You can go to church now, more than 100 people, okay. But then in the Trotsky where you can get, you know, infected, no problems, go for. So it's all confusing, yeah. So the under 20 and under 17 teams, I understand, have to be given opportunities to go and train and all. But I was also looking through it. We're going to have a big idea, a grand plan of how we're going to roll football back. I'm just trying to think. I'm not thinking for the president. I'm just thinking, reading through the lines. Maybe this is a way to gradually roll the football program in. And I'm sure the president or the government has spoken a lot with the stakeholders.
Obviously.
And they would have decided that, let's go with the under 20, under 17. That is why it's important.
Because in the immediate future,
they
need to get into camp.
Yes.
Because they have a couple of games coming at the moment.
World Cup qualifiers, very, very important qualifiers. So I understand that. But President did add that the Ghana Football Association and all these national teams have to work in accordance with the protocols here in Ghana, plus what CAF and FIFA are saying.
Speaking of which,
yes,
we have somebody from CAF on the line, our very good friend, Dr. Prince.
Oh, Dr. Prince Pambo.
Pambo, who has been very kind to educate us on a lot of issues throughout this COVID period. He is on the line with us. Doc, good afternoon and thank you for your time on Joy FM.
Good afternoon, Gary. How are you doing, sir?
We are doing well, sir. So, yeah, right on cue, you know, you just came into the discussion where George was mentioning how it is important that any directive that is given by the president must also be in consonance with what is happening at the CAF and FIFA levels, because at the end of the day, whatever competitions will be organized will be done under the auspices of these two bodies or one of them. So you heard the president's directive yesterday regarding the under 17 and under 20 junior women's teams. What are your thoughts where your organization is concerned? And remember, Dr. Prince Pambo is working for, he works with the GFA and works for CAF as well in terms of the medical committees.
Right. So, Gary, thank you again. We all heard the directives from the president. So what CAF has done some months ago was to put together a guideline or a document with various guidelines to give us direction when it comes to the resumption of football. So yes, we worked on such a document, and it clearly states the protocols one would need to follow to be able to play football. I think at the national level, Ghana here, we have a group, the national teams, doctors group. We've also come up with a document, which of course is not very different from the CAF document, which is supposed to guide the resumption of football. So yes, I can say that on that score, and of course with guidance from the national level COVID team, a few things, the appropriate things have been put in place to ensure the smooth return to camp by these teams, and then to make sure that their stay in camp is as safe as possible.
Very, very interesting. So essentially, the GFA are taking the lead from CAF on this matter?
No, I think CAF has already given a directive. CAF has already given a tool out already. I mean, the CAF Medical Committee, we've already worked on a tool for the resumption of football, which has been sent to various countries where we believe not all countries would have very strong medical committees.
Sure.
So at the level of CAF, we worked on a very comprehensive document and sent it to member associations, and they said, this is our document, we want to give to you. If you want to adopt it and use it in your country, you are free to do so. If you have yours, which also works well within your setting, you can't do that. But normally when you take a look at all the various guidelines set, I mean, from UEFA to FIFA to CAF to various countries, it's really not a very different document. It's all about observing all the COVID-19 protocols. It's all about ensuring that you do COVID-19 testing regularly.
Sure.
It's all about ensuring that there's restricted movement, there's no visitation, hand washing. It's all about ensuring that you have enough buses to commute people from one place to the other. You know, so basically it kind of things from the same hymn book.
Okay. All right. George is here as well, George.
Yeah. So, Doc, how are you doing?
Very well, George.
Good. Doc, so I was telling Gary before you joined us that I see this as the, let's say, the bedrock or the foundation on which we will gradually move into Ghana Premier League and things that we'll do and what the Ghana Premier League clubs will do and all. What's the thinking, you know, going into this, especially when you think about the fact that we have to start playing football and we are likely to start playing football in October? How are you expecting the Ghana Football Association to navigate through this?
Right. So if I will speak specifically to these young ladies returning to camp anytime soon,
okay.
Again, like I said, there's a document to guide us all how this should be done. First of all, coaches for these national teams are encouraged not to over-invite players. I mean, we have times when coaches will invite as many as 40 players to camp and then send half of them home. So now we try to tell them, bring as few as possible that you can use. So there will be fewer people. Everybody will have to go through the testing to come in. There will be restricted movement in and out. So the only difference here is that when we want to extend to the league, and we obviously, like you said, going to use this as a test case to see how disciplined our players will be, how disciplined we technical members will be, how disciplined our kitchen staff and support staff, including drivers, will be. And then it will also give everybody a fair idea of what goes into the logistics. This is a very expensive venture we are all going into. I mean, every single person in there would have to be on some immune-boosting medications and all that. You can't put more than, I mean, you can't pair people in rooms because they will have to sleep, I mean, as individuals. So if you're even going to put them in hotels, that means you're going to pay for more rooms than you ideally would, because previously we were putting three or four. So if it's pam-pam, you are going to have them all in separate rooms. You're supposed to be having a holding room, I mean, a number of rooms, to serve as isolation units within camp, holding area. Every single morning, every member in camp would have to have interactions with the medical team, where temperatures and oxygen saturations will be checked every morning. A COVID-19 task force will be set up within camp. Some of the players and technical members and kitchen staff and the medical team will be part of this COVID-19 task force. And they will ensure that everybody follows all the rules in camp as far as COVID-19 is concerned. So, yes, it's a test case. The difference here is that with the league, you'll be expecting people to be commuting from one city to the other. Okay, so that is when then another level of dynamics will have to come in. Where are the hotspots in the country? The movement, is it going to be another venue where we will be increasing numbers from a more concentrated area to a less concentrated area? Those dynamics would all have to be factored in when we are looking at going into the league. So yes, I think it's the same thing we talk about, being the gradual easing of restrictions or the phased approach to getting football come back. And we are hoping that, of course, by October-ish, I mean, we should be having some success as far as the numbers are concerned, and we should be probably getting more disciplined and more experienced in how to go about it. And of course, it's going to be quite expensive for the clubs as well. Bear in mind, these national teams, everything is going to come from the government purse, and it's probably not going to shake us as much. But if an individual or an organization that owns a club and we want to put them in a hotel or a guest house for a league season, that's actually some money. And I think the executives will have to look at that and see how we can overcome that. Because if people have to stay in their homes and then come for training and come for matches, then it's going to be quite difficult to navigate through.
All right. That's quite exhaustive. Doc, let me just... put a few things I wrote down while you spoke. Mm-hmm. A few pointers. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you know this by heart, as they say in the school. I mean, you also this, you have chewed this and you know it's by rote. But a couple of things that you said, not a couple, several. Mm. Don't, to the national teams, don't over-invite players. That is one of my advice. Two, when you do this, it will enable you to effectively test all invited players. So they have to all invited players
before they go to camp.
Yes. Yeah. Don't pair people in rooms.
Yeah. As much as possible.
As much as possible. Mm.
That's really tight.
Yeah, that's expensive.
It's really tight. Very
that's
expensive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then every player must be on some kind of immune booster.
Mm. That's right.
Every morning, temperature and oxygen must be taken.
That's right.
A COVID-19 task force must be set up within the camp.
That's right.
And these are just, I'm sure, I mean, the list is more exhaustive than this. This is just what we picked up, you know, from on the top of your head. So this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 things they have to do. And if we put...
transportation, if you have to move from one place to the other, provide more than one bus so they don't sit on each other's lap like we are used to.
Yeah.
that will have to be sorted out. No visitation in camp.
Wow, this is sad.
No visitation, no friendly matches. If they have anything to do, they play among themselves. If there ever will be the need for a friendly match, the opposing team coming would have to be tested, and then they will have to show a proof of this.
This is rigorous. So I know, so you have given us 9 things. I mean, obviously we are going to use this for an article or something, you know, just from the CAF level.
Yeah.
Now, let's go outside the box a bit, Dr.
So what I need to mention, like I said, CAF will always say these are recommendations.
Of course, of course.
And I believe they actually sit well with what the GFA has also done. Like I said, yes, the GFA would also have a document which we have worked on, which it syncs very well with what I've just mentioned.
Yeah. So let's go outside the box a bit. I mean, right now we know that in Europe and elsewhere, they have played in the Bundesliga, Premier League, Serie A, and so on. You are at the CAF level. Obviously, you have an eye on what is happening in other confederations too. Give us some education, please, Doc.
Right.
Let me come to the specific question. So all these clubs, I mean, these Manchester United, Real Madrid, Juventus, and all that, they also don't play friendly matches, do they? Or they do, but they do what you have. Said CAF is basically asking us to do. They test the visiting teams as well before they come.
Yes, they do that. And in fact, they actually did not play friendly matches. I mean, they only played matches that were part of the leagues, and then they actually did on average about 3 tests per a game.
Yes.
So a number of days before the game, they test. A day before a game, they will be tested. After each game, there's testing. And this is very standard, and this is basic.
I see.
They've all gone through that. And there have been instances when players have tested positive, officials have tested positive, they isolate them, and then their games go on. So whatever the case might be, yes, it will not be strange that we might be picking cases along the line, but we will have to just push on.
Interesting. And, you know, It sometimes when you are watching the news, especially the sports news about what happens elsewhere, it doesn't hit close to home until these directives come in. Now, it's now occurring to me that I used to see, for example, Man United and Real Madrid playing friendly matches, but I never really questioned whether these were friendly matches against other teams. But as it turns out, I'm just looking at it on Google right now, and it was against each other,
yes.
You know, and they are junior teams.
Yes.
In fact, Carlton Cole mentioned when we had him that West Ham United, the senior team, just bring in the junior team. So, for example, the under 20 team, they bring them specifically just to play friendly matches before the games themselves.
Yes.
That's right.
I see.
That's right.
United.
Yes. So, I mean, COVID has come to reshape everything globally. And my worry is whether we will not lose our abilities to think right again after COVID leaves us, because we are almost getting used to thinking this particular way. And yes, we can only achieve success if we put in a lot of energy to think this way. And yes, exactly what we're going to do in Ghana. And like you said, we all saw it far. Now it's here. Our girls will have to progress the same way their colleagues are in school and have to write examination and progress. This is what they have chosen, a career path they have chosen, and that opportunity will not have to slip. And we all need to give them that support.
Nice one. Many, many thanks, Dr. Pambo. Always great to have you to give us insight and open our eyes to, you know, some of the things that we were looking at, but not seeing.
Not seeing, and you know, Doc. I'm just hoping that we can do this, because we have to be brave. And Doc just gave us an indication that look, it's possible that we can even practice along the way.
Yes,
but we don't have to.
Because remember, the Premier League do weekly testing as well.
Yes.
Now, just by way of information, in the last round of testing they did last week, getting to the match day 38, it was the first time across board they recorded no COVID case. No, it was the second week in a row.
Yeah. They recorded no COVID cases.
Yes,
no COVID.
any COVID cases at all.
Yeah.
So it's not easy.
It's important. Now, for me, mm-hmm. so that the media don't
sensationalize it.
That whole somebody is possible.
It's possible.
Doc, thank you very much. That's good.
In fact, in some of the leagues, one of the rules was that if at any point a player of one team had COVID, that team will not
be part of them.
Be part of them.
Just isolated.
We'll be isolated.
Fairly.
Now, we saw that with, what's his name? The American commentator we had. With Peter Drury and John Champion.
John Champion, you mean? Yes.
You know, he commentated
with MLS.
MLS.
Yes.
Now, he said that in the mini thing they are going to do in Orlando, if one player tests positive in the team, automatically that team, the entire team will go on quarantine.
Yes, yes.
Now, at the time, Serie A and others had said that no, we can't allow this to happen. So even if they went into their hotel, they test today, Kofi is positive, is negative, sorry. They test tomorrow, Kofi is negative. He alone goes on isolation. They don't disclose his name.
Yeah.
In England, they will disclose your name,
but
you will go on isolation by the rest of the team who are positive.
So we need to learn on that tangent. I think that the media needs to be prepared for this, because reporting on COVID could be tricky, and especially when
it's also
it's
going
football.
To psych the fans to behave a certain way.
Behave a certain way, precisely, yes.
So that, and you see, last week, the GFA said they were putting some money aside for media sensitization.
We didn't understand. I understand the media sensitization and media, you know, building capacity and all.
Yeah.
But I think that we really need to look towards, and for the FA, when it comes to media, we really need to look towards things that make the media comfortable. So we have to start looking at the areas where the media are going to be working out from. I think that for the education, we're a long way, and $7,000 will not end the education. It won't give us everything we want.
Yeah.
So I want them to invest that in areas that make the media comfortable.
I know what you are concerned about. You know, things like providing things like Wi-Fi at the various
where
stadia.
You don't have to go and sit down.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we can be properly spaced.
Battling.
Imagine there is Hartsburg versus Asante Kotoko at the Cross Sports Stadium.
Yeah.
We cannot all be in that place. And they have to be controlled.
And also there's something we can pick up from those who have already gone before, especially in there in Western Europe, or in Europe in particular, when the media are only given specific allocations.
Yes.
So, for example, I know that it's one seat per media, and even then, there's a sort of ranking that is done.
Guess what?
Yeah, tell
you know, I've been to the UEFA Champions League 3 times in a row.
Yeah.
Was sent a mail last week, Friday, that ladies and gentlemen, this is a mail, ladies and gentlemen. Because of COVID, nobody is coming. Don't apply. With regards to the round of 16 games for...
Oh, for the Champions League that are coming on the
7th and 8th. Yes. Except for 7th and 8th, if you want to report, you have to go through either Chelsea or Bayern Munich or one of the clubs that are doing it. But when it comes to the tournament in Lisbon, please don't. We are just dealing with our broadcast right holders. Even the broadcast right holders, there is a serious limitation in the number of.
Yeah.
And just as you're saying, a whole BBC team can only put two guys. Yesterday at the Aston Villa West Ham game, it was Chris Sutton and Murray. That was it.
That's it.
John Bennett was the only one there in a Leicester game versus Manchester United. Alistair Bruce Ball was the only one there in Stamford Bridge. That is just how they go about
when
it.
When so ordinarily
limited.
They might say
they'll have a lot of guys.
10-man crew.
Yes.
Just
they may even end
alone.
Up, and typical of BBC, they would have ended up producing everything from the stadium.
Yeah.
You see, this time they put commentators there and we're running things with Simon Kerrins in the studio. That's just how tight this is. So we should not be only talking about when the players have to do this and officials have to do this.
Probably
everybody.
That may be the easiest part.
Yes.
The players' business may be the
easiest.
Because, you know, media, spectators, some of the other stakeholders may feel entitled. You know, hey, we have to get
no,
into
no, 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 no. If you look at this, look at the spacing when it comes to interviewing. If you watch that critically,
but
they've created a little area. There's a long microphone, some space, and
there's
the questions
have been sellotape on the floor.
Very important. Look at the pre-match conferences. Nobody's there. The coach goes to sit down. He's giving a background on Zoom or whatever it is.
There's a camera
facing him, and he's answering questions.
Yeah.
So we need to adapt. And I like it that we're talking about this, because we make it feel like the players and the fans and the supporters and the media and the administrators We are part of this. And administrators need to understand this, because it will start from club level before we see it, you know, on a collaborative level, on a national stage. So we really need to be careful about it, especially Division 1. Division 1, Premier League, Division 2. There's work to be done. So I'm sure the FA will position itself in a way that they can speak to these guys, because that's where there are going to be issues. Yes, this Premier League club may find their way in having testing players and doing this and all of that. But the rest of the stakeholders, very, very important. And our own media.
The lower you go on the football pyramid,
the more difficult it is.
The more difficult.
You look at the stadia. I don't know whether it's fit to call all of our ground stadia. We have stadia. We have parks. We have mini stadia. We have.
AstroTurfs.
We have AstroTurfs.
Playing grounds.
Know, we have playing grounds, you know.
And then Sakura Parks.
And then we have Sakura Parks as well. So even that way, it's not easy. And I see it beautiful. I was at the Selhurst Park, and I saw how Crystal Palace and Tottenham Hotspur came onto the pitch yesterday with Crystal Palace coming in from the traditional, you know, entrance.
Their tunnel there, the one
and,
on the left
and
side.
And Tottenham Hotspur were using a different route coming out of it. And so, there is a lot. It's very possible. We must do it. We must definitely end up doing it, because we have to play football. But we have to pay attention to the details and be fine.
Yeah.
Else, before you know it, you start your football and after 1 month.
And so it was also that the Premier League came to an end yesterday. And you know, the way the Premier League, I don't want to say they be, or the way that the nature of the Premier League is, it felt like it was football coming to an end, not just one league.
Yes.
It felt like it was football coming to an end, not just one league. Mm. The same, and I want to use this word, you know, not in the pejorative sense negative sense. Mm. The arrogance of the Premier League.
Yes.
When people said, oh, Bundesliga has started.
Yeah.
This league has started.
Yeah.
But when Premier League is come to start, proper football is about to start.
And they were very right. Because look at how the teams were playing well with a lot of integrity. But look, they ended up on the final day with so much to discuss when a league had been won with 7 games to spare.
To spare, yeah.
And you compare. Look, Bayern Munich, yes, spoiled the party for us after they beat Dortmund by 1-0. It was clear they were going to win it.
We couldn't even run commentary again.
because
Real Madrid was dead.
That's right. Real Madrid also did the same when Barcelona drew, and they clearly won it because it looked like they were going to win it. So, aside that, what else do you have to balance it when it comes to advertising your league? Yes, I know there was a little bit shout. There was a slight shout in the final day for for the teams, Leganés and the others who had to play Mallorca on the final day. But it wasn't as tight as the English Premier League. That's where you go. If you go to the Bundesliga, there were some serious cases. For instance, the fight for the Champions League, it was quite tight. Bayer Leverkusen on the fringes and all of that. Even relegation was also tight because they go through the playoff system. And it was great. But here we were yesterday with the English Premier League. The top four was so tight. And guess what? They had 2 or 3 of the most followed teams right in that. And that's where the whole attraction is. Chelsea is in there. Manchester is in there. Leicester is in there. They have to choose. When they go to Europa League, Wolverhampton Wanderers are playing Chelsea. Tottenham are playing Crystal Palace. And Tottenham have that man, Jose Mourinho, who already started throwing everything he could throw from the press conference. Give that. Then go to the relegation battle. Teams were separated by just a goal. Teams were separated by just a point. And so it meant that there was so much all of a sudden on the day. Excitement.
Could this be the moment? Shoots and scores! Grealish gives Villa the lead. And the young captain, the Villa fan, might just have scored the goal that keeps them in the Premier League. And off he runs towards the halfway line, pursued by men in green shirts. And there is a huge embrace with all of his teammates and all of the substitutes. Villa are
are 1-0 up and they are heading for safety. And they are coming forward and Yarmolenko on his left foot shoots. It's deflected. Oh, it's deflected all the way in. It's deflected over Reina and drops into the net. And West Ham have come up with an equaliser. This draw here at West Ham. Villa have stayed up.
So those were Aston Villa fans here in Ghana, and as you know,
you think it's only Man U fans and Chelsea fans and Liverpool fans. Aston Villa fans in Jobbing.
Jobbing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
You know a lot about them, of course. You were there, cover them nicely for Premier League TV. Yes.
Yeah. So, also Amandu and his boys.
Yes.
But yeah, that was just one of the storylines. The relegation scrap yesterday was it went down the wire.
Favorite, right?
And we saw that Bournemouth unfortunately could not make it,
even though they did well. And a lot of people have
a soft spot for Eddie Howe.
Yeah,
not for Bournemouth. I mean,
of course,
Eddie Howe himself. Eddie Howe, I don't know why. I like the guy.
Everybody says, "Oh, if I like Eddie Howe, you know, it's sad." Oh, Eddie Howe, how did he go down? How did he go down? Eddie Howe, how did he go down? But well, that's the Premier League for them. Yes,
Norwich and Watford.
Yeah, Norwich and Watford. I mean, and Watford, yes. Came up against Arsenal, but I thought they considered too early. Aubameyang, that penalty wasn't too good. And then, you know, Kieran Tierney also got a goal, the second one. And then there's a third goal before they start a rally with Welbeck scoring and Troy Deeney with that penalty. 3-2, that's right, but they didn't show too much fight in that. So it ends up with Watford going down. And it's a bit sad for some of the players that are involved, but that's the way it is. Even before the English Premier League will be over, Championship was already making waves with Ghana's DDIU. I'm sure we'll talk about that. Yeah. But that was the other side. Then we went to the Europa League, the race for Europa League. Jose Mourinho's Tottenham Hotspur versus Wolverhampton Wanderers. So that's why there was a lot of interest as well from the other side with Chelsea versus Wolves, because if Wolves won that game, then Jose was going to be in trouble. So Jose had to pray for all the variables to work. Luckily, his former sides came to his aid. Chelsea beat Wolverhampton Wanderers by 2-0. And then Jose managed to do the job at Crystal Palace. And it clearly meant that he had taken the sit position. Because the only time you can be sure of qualifying this season for Europa is the sit position.
Yeah.
If Arsenal win the FA Cup, they go straight into the Europa.
Yeah.
So if you are seventh, you have to pray that Arsenal don't win the FA Cup. Yeah. You have to pray that Chelsea win it. So Jose Mourinho avoided all of that. And it's been somewhat a good season for Jose Mourinho, where he picked the team from.
I was seeing a couple of Spurs fans yesterday on social media, essentially saying that it's been a successful season where Jose is concerned.
Yes, I think so.
Because he took the team when they were 14th.
And there was no indication that the team was coming up. It looked like they were still going down under Pochettino.
Mm. Yeah.
So Mourinho's had his own struggles. It's typically well documented. Well documented. And so giving them the Europa League is one, and traditionally between Arsenal and Spurs, finishing above, Arsenal is another one. So Spurs fans will be okay. They feel that they are gradually getting there. They need something. With Jose Mourinho in Europa, you can start to believe that he can win Europa.
Because he's a tournament coach, sort of.
Yes, he won the Europa League only in 2017 there with Manchester United against a very difficult Ajax team who came back in the Champions League to cause trouble in 2018. So I'm sure the Spurs fans have looked at this and said, okay, well, he came in, he got a few signings. It's not his team, but he's tried.
You know, the season was crazy, not just since I arrived. I think since they played the Champions League final, the season has been up and down and really, really hard. But we managed in this group of matches to get results and to perform. It's really hard to play the last match where you play everything in one game. It's difficult to be promoted, for not to be relegated, to be champion, to get Europa League. It's very, very difficult when you have the pressure to play everything in the last game. So in the end, was great because we could fly. We can go to holiday without thinking about what is going to happen in the FA Cup final. Now it's for Wolves to be waiting for that. So I think very, very good. And in my personal case, I arrived 14th and I finished 6th.
Jose, he will remind you.
He will remind you.
Oh,
Jose,
no, 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 no. You see, the thing about Jose is that if he had turned water into wine, no.
You tell you.
He won't make the mistake. I mean, Jesus didn't make a mistake.
No.
But he would have made sure that,
yes,
even though there was no Facebook at the time,
he would get on Facebook. And tell that, my friend, I turned water
into wine. That,
so that was special. That was special. So, but good news for them.
See how relaxed he sounds.
Very, very relaxed, yes, finally. Yes.
Relaxed, relieved, and probably accomplished.
Yes, like, accomplished. Yeah, I've done something. Thing. Yes.
Yeah,
from 14th to 6th.
Yeah.
I took the team from 14th and I've taken it to the Europa League. He has accomplished another big thing for him in football. And remember that Jose Mourinho is on a simple run in trying to tell everybody, I'm still the guy. I have not lost anything. I'm still the guy. But the bigger battle, you know, amongst the two set of fans, Chelsea and Manchester United, they will all qualify in the end, but there are still arguments about which team has had a better season and about which team has disappointed. So the Manchester United fans say that, look, Chelsea, you have been in the top four for so long, since October, and you end up in fourth, allowing Manchester to finish above you. That's a big disappointment. That's the argument of the Manchester United fans. The Chelsea fans are saying that, wait. When we started, we had a transfer ban. We lost our
coach,
top player, Eden Hazard. We came in with a very inexperienced coach relative to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Yeah.
Carried the ship, managed it, and we are in top four with all the problems, including the capabilities of Kepa Arrizabalaga.
Yeah.
And this man is in top four. He has done well. And the difference is just by goals.
You mean the incapabilities?
The incapabilities.
Okay.
And you know what? And then the Man U fans say, hello, who stopped you from buying in January?
Nobody.
Because you are saying that Bruno Fernandes is the difference for Manchester United. Nobody stopped you because your ban was also cleared. So it's a fantastic discussion. But overall, can you think about it? It's Liverpool who won it. And Manchester City was second. Last time Man U won was in 2013.
I know we can talk about that all day, but let's look at that top four discussion again.
Yes,
I think the boys have done a great achievement. I think, you know, where we were earlier on in the season to end up third is fantastic by them. They've taken on board so many things, had our ups and downs, and it's of course come down to the last game. And I've got to say, it's a wonderful achievement by everyone. I think these boys are looking more and more like a Man United team, the Man United way. You play with no fear, you go for it. Today, of course, we could have sat back and just rested and tried to get a draw, but that's not in our genes. It's not in the DNA of the club, so just gone for it.
But at a point in the game, Man United looked like they were playing for a draw.
Yeah, they looked lethargic again, and they looked like they couldn't put a lot of things together. They looked very, very tired. That's another one. He says that these boys are beginning to look like the Manchester United team. Okay, well, let's see. But there's still issues to solve. I think a good thing about the team now is that they are difficult to beat, no matter how bad
Eddie,
they play.
Eddie has sent me a message. Eddie, thank you for sending a message. At the end, he says what?
I knew George will forget that we beat Chelsea home and away. Yeah, you beat Chelsea home and away.
But
that's 6 points. But it's not 6 points between.
It is Mount. Yes. Oh, yes. What a brilliant free kick from Mason Mount. Free for Giroud. Could get even better before halftime. Yes. How's he managed to work that in? Olivier Giroud looks second favourite. But everything he touches ends up in the back of the net at the moment. 4-4. Greenwood's won it back, and now Martial through the middle. Martial is fouled, surely. Penalty. Bruno Fernandes against Schmeichel. That could be massive. Oh, he's lost it to Lingard. Jesse Lingard! Lingard sends United into the Champions League.
So that was the story. Let's hear from Frank Lampard, as we've heard from Solskjaer. He was quite honest about a lot of things.
I suppose at Chelsea we have to be careful getting too excited with top four finishes, but you know, coming into the job, I don't think a lot of people put us in that bracket, and we know where we're at, and it's a progress, and can we get better? Can we, now we've secured top four, can we look at how we can improve and try and close that gap? Because the gap is there for a reason. It's there because Liverpool and Manchester City have taken it to different levels, but what we've done this year, I think, is shown that we've bringing in some some of the younger players and giving them the opportunity to play, trying to work with and help and improve players that are already here, already very good players playing for Chelsea. And I think we've done well. We always want more, but to now reflect on the league itself and think that we've come in the top four when it's so competitive around there is something that we can be pretty happy with, and now we have to work to look forward.
Frank Lampard, then will be ending that the Joy Sports Track today.
There's one thing he's done well. I think he's been very honest in his interviews. And the interviews have been good from the young managers. Yes, that's great. That's something we have to learn.
Yeah,
we all have to learn. Yeah. Good stuff.
And one thing I liked was the fact that he said that we cannot pin the leakages at the back to the goalkeeper
at all.
Yes, because
defenders are also a problem.
Somebody mentioned yesterday we had a Zoom chat with our fans after the 4-hour broadcast, and one person mentioned that if you look at his record at Derby, the number of goals he conceded were the same as the number of goals he scored. So probably Frank Lampard himself has admitted that he probably needs to look at his style of coaching in terms of keeping the
defensive tactics
at working at play. Many thanks to George Addo Jr. Many thanks to Dr. Prince Pambo. Today we had a two-man show. I'm Gary Al Smith. Many thanks for your time. And it's time for the news at 2.